Hi guys, welcome back to a new podcast session. My name is Osi Greco-Sinare and I'm very, very excited. Today we're having our third guest for the podcast. And this person is an amazing individual, self-made, successful business owner, a lawyer, a mother, and one of my biggest role models. It is none other than my sister, Maza. Welcome to the podcast, Maza. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you.
Super happy to have you on here. You've been a role model of mine for a very long time. I thought I would bring you on because I know that there's a lot of insight that you can share with my audience and a lot of people could learn from you.
Oh, thank you very much. It's a good feeling. They say if you can motivate your own people, then you're doing a good job. I'm very excited, and I'm sure something will come out of this.
Thank you. And you definitely are motivating your own people. So I wanted to start it off with the first question, and a lot of people don't know this. You actually are a lawyer by profession in the beginning, and you did switch to cosmetology. So I wanted to know what, you know, was the initial inspiration or reason to pursuing a career in law?
First of all, I love reading. I love researching. When I read, I feel full. I feel like my brain is expanding. I'm stretching my brain. So for me, first of all, I also have a role model. I have a person that I look up to. And that I've been looking up to for forever. And this is none other than Balozi Monaidi Maja, Balozi Monaidi Sinare Maja. And she's my aunt. And when I was very young, everything she did mesmerized me. And of course, she's a lawyer, she's an advocate. And when I looked at her, I could see myself in her. So she was one of the biggest motivation for me to study law. But then again, I'm very intelligent. Studying and writing has been a joy to me. So it was almost automatic that I'd want to do something to do with a lot of reading. And I'm not a maths, a science person. So studying law, studying the arts, was the option that was available to me. And I enjoyed my first degree. I did it in the University of Dar es Salaam. I had so much fun studying. I enjoyed every bit of it. And also did my master's at the University of Dar es Salaam. It was also very much fun because I did my master's on the legal environment governing small, medium enterprises. So it was something that I wanted to know. I wanted to know businesses were governed how. How would you open, what are the legal challenges and the legal benefits in Tanzania governing small businesses? And it was quite exciting. But then before I did my first law degree, I had done a pre-university under Cambridge system in Kenya. And
That's amazing. I know that, but I don't know if other people knew that. How was your experience in Kenya? And how old were you? How was the experience? And how was it navigating being in Kenya, maybe, I'm assuming, at a young age? Were there any temptations of being in boarding? Like, how was that for a woman?
First of all, it was very exciting because we, personally, you know, Dad, he will always give freedom to be who you are, to find yourself. So when I was told to choose which courses I wanted to study at a pre-university level, which would call A level in Tanzania, but then in Kenya it was a pre-university. In Kenya they had this Cambridge system that encouraged people to study at that level what you would want to do later. So I did literature in English because I'd always wanted to improve my English, my writing skills, and then I did business administration, so business management, basing on human resource management, because I had always thought and see myself as a business person later in life. And then I also did law. And that law was, of course, Cambridge system, UK law, which is also the common law system, the same law that we're using in Tanzania and East Africa. So I chose those three subjects, wanting to grow in that area, seeing myself either being a lawyer, an advocate, maybe working in the UN, becoming a big person in the law area, maybe NGOs, helping children who are underprivileged, or I saw myself doing business. So that's the time. Also, I saw myself writing books. So those are the three things that I decided to pick the subjects now. They prepared me from the law degree that I did in Tanzania and their master's as well. In Kenya, it was so much fun. I had all the freedom. There were all the discos to go to. There's everything that you could choose to do. You could decide to have boyfriends, smoke weed, do all that, drink alcohol. But I had opportunity of having a father that was leading me to know me. I remember this one time I called him. I told him, you know, here in Nairobi, everybody is having sex, everybody is smoking weed, everybody is drinking and going out. It's overwhelming. I feel like I'm going to change and be like them. The guy laughed. Ha! He told me and he asked me, why should they change you? Why don't you change them? So that was an aha moment for me. Aha moment. I discovered actually I can change people. I can make people do the right thing. I can choose to do the right thing. And that's how I sailed through Nairobi for 3 years, because that's where I did my cosmetology diploma as well. So I sailed through the 2 years in 6 months of my pre-university diploma. And then again, I did my cosmetology diploma in Kenya. And I came back to, I was also doing business. We'll talk about it later. I came back back home, a whole person, knowing me and knowing what I want. Yeah.
Do you think that, first of all, that's amazing that he was so confident in responding in that way. I'm sure a lot of people would be very nervous having their daughter in another country. Do you think he played a big role in shaping you in terms of having the confidence that you have today?
A huge role. Because that one statement that he said back in 1997, I remember it was April, around this time, that one particular sentence of it was like he was shrugging, he was laughing at me. Why should they change you? Why don't you change them? That one particular statement has really played a huge impact in my life, even in my motherhood. I talk to my children, I tell them, you have the power to change others. You don't have to follow what they want you to do, especially if what they want you to do is going to have a negative effect in your life. It has really changed me. That statement has remained on my diaries, it has remained on my journals, it is on my bathroom mirror. And on a serious note, it has made me be able to change a lot of people, even at this particular moment in my life, to make them discover the best in them and to live according to that best in them thing. Also quality, maybe whether it's gardening, it's cooking, it's choosing a business, it's having exercising, having a better perspective of themselves. That particular sentence has not only changed me, it has made me also change so many others. So I'm totally grateful about it, totally grateful. And I'm still using it up to now.
That is amazing. Yeah. I know that you did switch from, you know, the practice of law to cosmetology. And a lot of people, I guess, in our society don't see that profession as something that is aspirational. But you've definitely transformed that in the 15 years of business that you've been practicing cosmetology. I wanted to know, when you were transitioning, I'm sure there was a lot of pushback from you know, society, people close to you in terms of taking that direction. What do you think was the like driving force for you to just pursue this, this, you know, direction rather than, you know, going forward and doing what the rest of, you know, society did, you know, wanted you to be?
To be very honest, one thing very important in anybody's life is to create time to know who you are, to know what you want, to know what brings you joy. You know, the time we spend working and trying to get an income to take care of ourselves and the loved ones is a lot. You wake up in the morning, you go to work, you work for almost 6 to 8 hours to 10 hours. So you have to do something that really, really makes you happy, makes you want to wake up in the morning excited to go do what is going to make you money. So when I finished my law degree, I did very well. I never got any supplementaries. And I attached myself in a law firm, doing my internship. And then again, I started working there. And I discovered that what I was doing was not bringing me joy. Waking up in the morning, going to work, was a little bit cumbersome and tiresome and a little bit overwhelming. Because by that time, I was working on liquidation. I was a business lawyer working on liquidation. Liquidation deals with people who have failed to pay loans that I have taken from the banks, and we're going to liquidate their properties so that the bank can get their money back. Ah, man, it was depressing. It was really depressing for me. And then another area that I was working on at that time was registration of companies. Now, registration of companies, you would have to go to certain government institutions and you have to look for certain documents. And the bureaucracy and the politics behind was a little bit overwhelming for me because I'm a little bit of a results-oriented person. And when you're a results-oriented person, when you work in a situation where it takes a little bit of time to get your results, you actually become depressed. So I searched myself, I looked within, and at that time it was a bit difficult to make that decision because I'd started doing my master's in law, wanting to do bigger things. At the same time, I needed an income, so I thought, I have this diploma in cosmetology. Why should I not open a business that deals with beauty? And then I supplement my income while I finish my law master's and then make up my mind exactly where I want to go, where I want to major in law, something that will make me happy. And then as I was doing this particular business in cosmetology, it boomed. Wow. Everybody wanted my service. Everybody was understanding what I was doing because I looked for a niche in the market. I looked for something that was needed in the market at a particular moment in time. And every day I was waking up in the morning, going to my beauty shop, transforming people. I was getting immediate results. You know, you get a person, they have dirty feet. You do a pedicure, the feet immediately become clean. So you get your results immediately and you get money out of it. Somebody comes, they want to do a makeup.
Yeah.
They have come with a clear face. You do their makeup. They look so beautiful. Immediately, I see the result and I get money out of it. I was getting so much joy. Sasa,
yes.
Making my parents understand that there's this particular thing that I did that they supported me to do, a diploma in cosmetology, that I wanted to major in that, it was a bit difficult. Making my classmates and my colleagues understand that I'm actually leaving this legal thing. By that time, it was almost like I was leaving because I was doing my master's and thinking when I'm done with my master's, I'll go back to law full time or maybe part time. See, I also thought of being a lecturer, you know, maybe I could just go teach in certain universities. Yeah? Making people understand was difficult. you've done very well. You have good grades in your LLB. And then you're done with your master's and you did very well, no supplementaries. And here you are dealing with cosmetology, an industry that by then, 15 years ago, was not that much respected, was a challenge. How did I make, I remember mom, she, one day you're telling me, but I like the way you dress when you go to work at the law firm. But now, you know, with this cosmetology, I can see you just normal, you know? So it was difficult. With dad, he was like, okay, you can do what you like, but we've spent some money taking you to school. I told him also with the cosmetology, you spent some money, you know?
Yes.
So how did I make them understand? I made sure I put 100% into my cosmetology career. I made sure I was successful. And I made sure part of my success was enjoyed by those around me. For example, dad was building apartments. I contributed in building the apartments. So it was like, huh, so you're making money out of this thing, huh?
And
then we've got family.
Speaking of that, because you're speaking about success, right? And
yes.
Because I'm curious, because you know, like you did do some business when you're in Kenya. Mm-hmm. But I definitely know from experience, you can be passionate about something and it brings you joy. But converting that to a successful business is very tricky. Where would you say you gained the business knowledge to run a business and to run a business successfully for 15 years? Where did you gain this insight?
First of all, you know our family. Our parents are self-employed. They've always been self-employed. They have done businesses. Mom has always been a fashion designer. She has a degree in fashion designing. She did it in Belgium. She's always had her own business. She's never been employed. Dad has always had the vet clinic and the pharmacies. He's always been self-employed. When we were young, I remember in our family, we almost had a division of labor. My young sister, Sheena, who always been in the kitchen cooking and coming up with new recipes and cooking these amazing. I would tell people if she boils drinking water, the water will taste better. If she makes tea, her tea will taste better than any other. And then we are my sister, Mooney. Sure. Mooney was always cleaning, washing clothes, ironing. And up to today, she's an extremely good cleaner. She can clean. And then our brother also was always creating this and creating that, the creative part of the family. And I was always in the businesses of our parents. I would go to the pharmacy, do the cleaning, pack the medicine. I'll go to mom's shop, do a little bit of stitching, finishing with the clothes. I'll go to dad's vet clinic, work there as a receptionist. Of course, all of us went to the businesses, but I was always taken as the Damaza will always go do this at the shop. Mm-hmm. As a result, I learned a lot. I learned about stock taking. I learned about treating employees fairly and paying them on time. Mm-hmm. I learned about customer care. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I learned about purchasing, you know, going to the shops, purchasing, and then balancing the creative, coming up with a price list. I learned all that from dad and mom. But then again, when I finished all levels, I went to Kenya. I started doing business. I would buy things from Tanzania, take them to Kenya, sell, get the profit, take things from Kenya, bring them to Tanzania. So I also learned on the ground. But I also did, remember, I did a diploma on business management. So I also learned business in class. That was also not enough. I read books. I read a lot about running a business, human resources, marketing. I read. But I also don't end there. I attend seminars. I listen to podcasts like the one we're creating right now. I listen to podcasts. I go to seminars. I travel outside Tanzania. I've been to Dubai, South Africa, UK. I go study and learn more about how to run a business. Because the business, when you start a business, like when I was in pre-university, if I do a business, some people will buy things from me just because I'm still in school. So they're supporting me as a young person. But when you're done with that, you lose that market. If I go to the University of Dar es Salaam, I was cooking food, I was selling water, I was selling voucher. By that time, I was getting customers from the university. When I left the university, I don't have people to cook for anymore. I don't have vouchers to sell, I don't have customers for vouchers anymore. See? So as we keep on moving in our lives, things change. So we need more experience on how to run a business and do business. And how do you learn? You have to invest in learning. So my journey has not been like only I learned from my parents or from doing a business management course or maybe from just books or from only seminars. No. It is a journey. You learn slowly, bits and pieces. That makes you a whole business person.
That is very true. That is super true. And I know that in terms of the business side, one aspect that we don't learn even in school and we don't learn in life because it's still taboo to speak about, it's usually finance and financial literacy. I know because you're my sister and one of my biggest role models, you have a very good habit of saving and also, you know, separating your revenue streams according to what you use them for. So for example, like if it's a revenue stream from the saloon, it's that revenue stream is for a particular thing in your life, right? Yes. Where did you gain this? Because I know like you can gain the financial literacy from learning and podcasts and seminars, but what habits in your life have you created to kind of be better at saving, be better in your finances? What two or three habits do you have in place that allow you to be so good with money?
One thing I learned since I was a little bit young, when I was doing my meeting business, I started 5, is that if you respect small money, one day small money will give you big respect. If you do any business and you get small money and you treat it like small money and you spend it immediately, then you're never gonna get big money. The kind of business I've been doing, they're the kinds that it's not like a tender business where you get a tender and you are paid 100 million, you know? The kind of business I've been doing all this time, they're the kind where you get small money. You do a pedicure, you get a profit of 10,000. You do a facial, you get a profit of 8,000. And then you stitch somebody's outfit, you get a profit of 20,000. And then if you collect all that money together, you are capable of buying a car, you're capable of buying a plot, you're capable of paying rent, you're capable of doing fulfilling your responsibilities, paying school fees. So I learned at a very young age that when you make money, make sure you, maybe tip number one, have goals. The minute you have goals, you attach a goal with an income. See? So you tell yourself, I have 3 businesses. I have Maznat College, Maznat Tailoring, and Maznat Beauty Salon. You are telling yourself, out of Maznat Tailoring, I want to buy transport. So whatever you do, whatever profit you make, you save that money for this particular goal. So when you're working, you're not going to be lazy. You're not going to spend the money anyhow, because you already have a goal attached to that particular business, that particular income. So it makes you focus, it makes you work harder, because you are looking at the end results. See, when you get somebody and you stitch an outfit for them, you get the profit 20,000. And then that 20,000, you go to KFC, buy some lunch and a big Coca-Cola, and then it's done. Yeah? True. But then if you already have attached a goal that I want to get a new car, I want to sell whatever car I have, I want to top up and get a new car out of this tailoring. When you stitch an outfit, you get a profit of 20,000. You're not going to touch that money. You keep it because you have an end result goal. So you want to fulfill that result.
So basically you set, like say, this specific revenue is for this goal. And so if anything else in life, for example, like, okay, so if this goal is to buy a car and then mchango wa harusi comes through, what happens?
That's why I always preach, okay, this is number one way of doing it. And then you said three ways. The second one is what you're talking about. That's why I tell people, if you're an entrepreneur, never depend on one income stream. Make sure you at least have, I would want everybody to have like 7 income streams, but I would say at least 3 income streams. For example, I'll give you an example of a creative content, creative creator, a content creator like you. You're creating, you'd have videos, then maybe you'll do teaching, and then maybe you will do wedding photography. So you will tell yourself, every time I do wedding photography, or maybe every time I teach, all the money that I'll be getting out of teaching photography, that is the money that I will use on my daily life, getting food, electricity, water, fuel in your car, getting yourself a new outfit. See? And then you will tell yourself, all the things that I would do that will deal with wedding photography, that money that I will get, that is the money for the community. I will contribute towards the michango ya harusi. I will contribute towards family issues, burials. See? So if you have a stream of maybe 3 different streams of income, you will allocate this. So if somebody comes to you, for example, when I sell table mats, when I sell lishe, when I sell traditional medicine, that is the money that I would use to contribute into the society. See? So if I have not sold any table mats, I have not sold any lishe, I have not sold any medicine, then I cannot contribute. And I will tell people I don't have money.
I'm guessing the third part of this, and this is a guess, it's discipline, right? It's having the discipline.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. You have the discipline. So if you know that you're in a society and maybe you would be called to contribute to a wedding, or maybe called to contribute to a burial, or just a family thing, then you would push yourself to make sure every month, at least you have certain income from that stream that you've already set for society. See? You will work very, very hard to make sure maybe you have a wedding photography twice a month so that you have that income to take care of that. So most people, they would work. I know entrepreneurs, they have a boutique, they will sell clothes. And then if somebody calls immediately, oh, there's a mchango harusi, they will open the drawer, remove and give. And then at the end of the day, they don't see a profit in the business. They don't see themselves grow. So you cannot push yourself if you don't set these particular stations of making income that will cater for certain things. See?
That's amazing.
Because we have goals. We have goals that will make us grow. You want to get a plot, build a house, travel, get a new car. But if you combine all of them together, then you really have to have a discipline to have something called prioritizing, which is really hard. You should be able to prioritize. First things first. What should be the first thing to deal with? Second, third, fourth? Huh? In our society, you're going to Mlimani City to do grocery, your shopping. The minute you walk into Lemon City, somebody will stop you. Hey, Maznat, how are you? I've not seen you in a long time. They would want to talk to you for half an hour. See? By the time you get into the shop, in the supermarket, and get out, you're supposed to spend 30 minutes, you spend 2 hours. Who is going to pay you back the 1 hour and a half that you've wasted in your life? That's how it is with income.
True.
You have planned to buy a car. Then in the middle of saving, somebody comes and tells you there's a wedding. You remove a whole 500,000 to contribute to the, where are you going to get the car?
Yeah.
See?
So priority is very, very important. Prioritizing.
Very, very important. Yes. And discipline.
Discipline, yeah.
If somebody aids, and then in our culture and many other cultures, saying no is a big issue. Telling somebody that I actually don't have money to contribute is a big issue. People feel so, what are you nadi? What will they think of me? You know, my name is so big. What will they think of me? But hey, you have goals that you have to stand for. You have plans. You have to learn to say no and be comfortable with it. If you don't learn to say no, you're not gonna grow.
You're not going to achieve your goals.
You're not going to grow. You're not going to achieve your goals at all. At some point, you have to say no. At some point, you have to say, I can't. It's okay if they think negative of you. Because at the end of the day, you can still contribute. And they would say, hey, that's not. She only contributed 500. I thought she was going to give a million. You know?
People are never satisfied. So you can't really just focus on, you know, satisfying every single person. At the end of the day, you have to focus on yourself, and yeah, that's very important.
Your growth.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for those tips. I want to move into your, you know, personal life. I know a big escape for you is your hobbies, one of them being, you know, plants. A long time ago, you used to be collecting stamps. I'm sure a lot of people don't know that. what have these hobbies played a role in your life? How have they played a positive role in your life to have such hobbies that are not related to your work?
First of all, how did I discover that hobbies are very powerful in anybody's life? I remember when I was 1998, I was speaking to Dad, and I was telling him about me not being able to play cards. You know, cards? Karata.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was telling Dad, I don't know how to play cards. And he told me, when you play cards, what do you think you're going to gain? That was over the phone. I was in Kenya. He said, we were at a hostel. Remember, it was in Hurlingham or maybe the South Sea, I think. He asked me, so what are you going to gain? I said, all the people at the hostel know how to play cards. He told me, listen to me very careful, my daughter. Any hobby that will make you stop doing something that is fruitful in your life, don't venture into it. He told me, anything that is addictive, that is not beneficial, don't get into it. For example, you're playing cards the whole day. What are you going to gain? If you start smoking, what are you going to gain? Huh? He told me, if you go to the disco and dance, you're going to get fit. So you can go to the disco as much as you want. But if you drink alcohol, it's going to kill your body. So go to the disco with your bottle of water, dance. So I started thinking, what is it that I like to do that makes me happy and brings me joy? And it's beneficial to me. He told me, make sure whatever hobby you have can help you make some money in case you need a plan B, C, D, and E. Ah, that was profound. So I said, searching myself, what is it that I can do that can make money? Amongst the things that I like, apart from, of course, at that time, I was collecting stamps. I was collecting stamps when I was in Uganda. Again, when I moved to Kenya, I was collecting stamps. It was a joy because I was learning so much about Africa. especially East Africa, through stamps. Because when you collect stamps, you read. They will show you history of the particular place. So I was learning a lot, and it was making me grounded. Then I by that time I was knitting. I could knit, and through knitting, I learned how to concentrate. I learned how to have patience. You know, you're knitting a whole blanket, knitting a whole tablecloth, a table runner. You have to have patience to knit one stitch after another until you are done. So I learned a lot of patience through knitting. And then gardening is joyful. You plant something, it gives you hope for tomorrow. You're waiting for that particular thing to grow. You are taking care of it like a baby. And when it blooms, it gives you so much joy. And then again, reading. I've been reading since I was 11, reading a lot. It has expanded my way of thinking. And of course, exercising. Exercising is a hobby that I have. I've had for many years. It gives me strength. It makes me more vibrant and energetic. And the kind of work that I do. I also love cooking. Cooking is interesting, it's exciting, especially when you have people to eat the food after you have cooked. But through all these hobbies, I've been able to make money in each one of them. When you're exercising a lot, if I travel to China, if I bring gym gear, I bring clothes and books, I have so many exercising groups. And you get customers for that, so we'll make money out of that. And then gardening. Oh, the flowers, you know how much I sell flowers. Every time I get a customer, because when you plant a plant, you take care of it, it will grow, it will have babies.
Yeah.
Yeah, you sell the plants. You have bought flowers from me before.
Yes.
And then cooking. You can sell Maznat Pilipili, you can sell Maznat Lishe. Yeah, you can never fail. I've sold so much food when I was doing my degree, and I made money and I got pocket money. And then reading, when you read, you grow your mind. When you grow your mind, you have enough content. So on my platform, on my social media, I would write things that are wise, things that have changed people. So they call me to seminars. They pay me when I go to seminars. When I go teach about a particular topic, they pay me. And again, I'm trying to write a book. 2-3 books and finishing my books.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yes, so I'm writing books on, I'm writing a book on gardening. I have a book on self-development. I have another book on exercising. So I'm trying to write books. So maybe eventually one day I'll come up with books and sell and make money. So I have hobbies. And to the people that are listening to us right now, search yourself. Look within you. Find you. Know what you like. Know how you want to spend your hours, how you want to spend your days. What is it that brings joy to you? You cannot sit and watch series and you don't want to be an actress or an actor. You must have something, okay, you can watch a movie. I watch movies once in a while, but I don't make it a hobby because I don't want to act one day. So far, I don't want to act. I don't want to be an actress. I don't want to get skills from movies. See, you cannot say you want to be a fashion designer, and you're not involving yourself into things that relate to designing. See, you're not reading books, maybe searching, going to YouTube, learning something about designing. So we have to be very careful how we spend our hours, our minutes, our days.
I think
spend your time. Mm-hmm.
I think it's definitely, we are what we consume, right? So if
we are what we consume,
right? Mm-hmm. If you're consuming content on gardening and it's your hobby, you will eventually be able to gain a skill from that, you know.
People have WhatsApp groups. It's a trend. It's something that's going on. This is how people communicate. But you have groups that have no value to it, to you. They don't add anything to your life. See, I have a group that deals with gardening. Every day I learn something new from this particular group. I have a group that deals with exercise. When I need motivation, I go to that particular group. I have a group of women entrepreneurs. Every time I need to know something, I need a contract, I'll go to the group and say, oh, I need somebody who can help me do this or get this particular product. And they will share the knowledge. So when you have, you know yourself, you know your hobbies, you know what brings you joy, and whatever brings you joy can also give you money, you will find yourself very much focused. You not allow yourself to just be everywhere, doing everything, you know. Whatever is trending, you are there. You will have this particular kind of focus that will make you move from one level to another. That will make you grow. That will bring joy to you. That will make your day fruitful. Yeah.
That is amazing. And on that note, I would really like to know from your perspective, you know, we are all always learning. We're always, you know, trying to grow. And I know my audience or anybody who's listening to this is also listening because, you know, they're trying to grow and change their habits so they could become successful. What are three habits that you will, for anybody who's trying to be successful, from your experience, what have been the three habits that have been a key in your growth or in your success that you would want anybody trying to be successful to instill in themselves?
Ah, it's a beautiful question. Then, first and foremost, consistency. You have to choose what you want to do, but you have to be consistent. Most of us already know what we want. Most of us are already doing what we want. Yeah. The audience that is listening, I'm sure, by now, you actually know what you want to do. But are you consistent? Consistency is what will give you results eventually. When I talk about consistency, I'm not only talking about consistency in business and how you make money, no. I'm talking about consistency in all aspects of your life. You have to be consistent in taking care of your health. The body you have is the only body you have. You're not going to have another body. You have to be consistent in growing your mind. As much as we take care of our body muscles, the brain has a muscle. The more you read, the more you study, the more you expand your brain, the muscles of the brain expand. They become stronger and better. You have to be consistent in what you eat. How healthy are you? You are what you eat. You have to be consistent in that. You cannot eat healthy this week, and next week, you're not healthy. You cannot exercise this week, and next week, you're not exercising. You cannot go to work at 5 in the morning this week. Then the following week, you go to work at midday. We have to learn to be consistent. That is one key habit that you need to have in order to grow in any area of your life. The second one, to me, is passion. You have to know what you want. You have to be passionate. And this passion should not be, as I say, in a consistent manner. It should not be like you're so passionate about something this year. Next year, you're not passionate about it anymore. See? You must do what you love so much that waking up in the morning to do that particular thing is joyful to you. I'm reminding you again, the time that you have in this world is the only time you have. Some people live for 20 years, others 30 years, others 80 years. We don't know how long we're going to live in this world. So you must enjoy the things that you're passionate about on a daily basis. It should not be a punishment to wake up in the morning to go do whatever you have to do, be it your social life, be it your relationship-wise, be it in a making money-wise. All these areas of life, you have to be passionate about what you want to do. Yeah. And lastly, but not least, for me, I think you have to be ambitious enough. See, when you have an ambition, you will have focus. When you have focus, you will see change and growth in you. Many people lose what they want to do in life, what they want to get in life, because they lose focus. When you're focused on something, Even if people don't believe in what you want to do or what you're doing, but their focus is so consistent and so ambitious and so directed, at some point you get results and all these people will be like, wow, this thing could happen. She or he could do this simply because you are focused. You know, when you have so many goals, they're actually everywhere. You're not focusing on a particular thing, you tend to lose direction. Even when you are so ambitious, you're so consistent, you know, you're trying so hard to develop this or develop that. But if you don't focus on a particular thing at a particular time, then you just lose yourself. That's where we get things like, I'm so depressed, you know, I feel so down, I have no motivation at all. All of this is because you're not focused enough. You have to have this particular kind of, I call it crazy focus. You focus on something so much that eventually everybody understands where you are, where you're going, and what you want to achieve. Yeah, basically that.
Those are amazing habits. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. It comes to the end of our session today. I just wanted to end it by thanking you for giving us this opportunity to hear your habits, hear your story, to hear the struggles that you've gone through, and also the different methods that you've put in place to reach the success that you have. I know it's not easy, and we definitely appreciate you for how you have placed consistency in your life, and you've put passion forward. It's definitely inspiring. It's inspiring to me, and I'm definitely sure it will inspire the audience hearing all the habits and everything that you've done to this point. I would like to thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much, Ose. And lastly, but not least, before we end this session, is that at the moment we are going through a big challenge in the whole world, and there's this COVID-19 that is around, and a lot of precautions that we have to take. We have business people that are stuck at home. We have this. We have to protect our families, protect ourselves. We have this quarantine, and we have to stay a little bit safe and separated so that we can protect ourselves. There's a book that I've been reading, actually two books. One is called Who Moved My Cheese? And the second one is Out of the Maze. These two books have been written by Spencer Johnson. I got this one book when I was traveling from Nairobi to Tanzania 2 years ago. And I got the book. I was reading it as I was flying over to Dar es Salaam. I read the book. I was very excited. Now this Who Moved My Cheese? And I learned so much about one concept in life. And then again, one day I went to a bookshop and I found the second one. It was about after 6 months, I found the second one called Out of the Maze by Spencer Johnson again. And this book also taught me so much about change. See, in life, sometimes there are things that happen that force us to change. They make us, whether you like it or not, you will have to go through that change. That is what is happening right now in the world. I've done business for 15 years. See? I am used to certain ways of doing business. Huh? I have learned if I do this, I'll make money. You know, we have seasons. The wedding industry has seasons, you know, from April, May to December. That's when business opens. We get so many brides. They want to stitch their outfits. They want to do their makeup. See, And then I know from what season Maznat College is full of students. Huh? So I know how to make my money. Boom, COVID-19. No more weddings, no more gatherings, no more parties. How do I deal with the matter? How do I deal with this situation? That's where I tell people, reading changes a lot of things, changes perspective, changes the way we think. So this particular book, Who Moved My Cheese, talking about these mice that are in a particular maze where there's cheese and they are used to that cheese being there. They keep on eating that cheese, getting plenty of cheese, getting a lot of, like us, getting money out of this particular industry at this particular time. We know the industry so well. We know what we do. When we do what, we get what. Then one day the cheese is over. The cheese is no longer there. How do you survive in that environment? How do you get out of that maze? It's a beautiful book. I suggest people should read it. It will help you during this particular time. And the second one, it talks about out of the maze. The mice that already got out of the maze, how are they coping with the situation out of the maze? Now, this is where thinking out of the box comes in. I remember I was talking to my dad at the beginning of the pandemic, and I was telling him, how are we going to deal with this situation? He told me, Princess, get out of the box. Huh? Think out of the box. Think and think how to do other things that will give you an income so that you can continue to survive in this particular time. Put yourself in a survival mode. They say when you change what you believe, you change what you do. I know now everybody is under fear. Yeah, we are so afraid of what is happening next. We are so afraid of how we're used to doing things in a certain way. We're used to knowing where our cheese is. Now the cheese is not there. But fear blocks positive thinking. Ask yourself this question. What would you do if you weren't afraid? What would you do? See?
Wow.
What you're afraid of is never as bad as what you imagine. The fear that you let build in you, in your mind, is worse than the situation that is actually on the ground, that is actually existing. See? Remove the fear. Ask yourself, what would I do if I was not this much afraid? Think out of the box. You are so used to this particular way of doing things, this particular way of making your income, this particular way of living. Think out of the box. For example, what would you do to make an income at this particular time? How are you dealing with all this time you have and you're at home, locked in your home? That's where hobbies come in. We've already spoken about hobbies. What do you do? How do you spend your days? How do you spend your hours? Whatever you do, is it going to make you money? Is it going to make you give you joy? You have to think out of the box. And the human brain is capable of stretching. It has the elasticity of stretching. So if you think out of the box, you remove fear within you, you'll be able to stretch your mind, think in ways that will make you be able to be comfortable with the situation. But last and not least is the ability of using gratitude as a power tool. I am a fan of The Secret. I am a fan of Law of Attraction. I am a fan of affirmations. I'm a fan of making things happen to me. I'll call it magically, magic, the power of magic, the power of your mind. So how do you make that work at this particular time? I suggest to wake up in the morning and recite, affirm all the positive things that are happening in your life. being that you are alive. So many people have already passed on. You are alive, you are able to listen to this podcast. So gratitude. If you have water in the house, thank God, thank the universe about that particular advantage of having water in the house. If you can watch TV, if there's electricity, if you have a roof on top of you, whatever thing that you have that is positive in your life, be grateful about it. Don't get tired of being positive and being grateful about the things that are positive in your life. And again, have a plan. Plan your day out. When I wake up in the morning, I will do my affirmations. I will do my gratitude. When I'm done with that, I'll exercise. When I'm done with exercising, if you have children like me, you help your children with your homework, with their homework and what they need to do. Then if you're knitting like me, you will knit. If you do gardening, you do a little bit of gardening. If you love cooking, you do a little bit of cooking. You will try as much as possible to do these activities on a daily basis that make you happy and bring you joy, that you don't get bored, you don't get depressed, and you don't think that you're so underprivileged to be inside. It is so bad to stay inside. It is so overwhelming to stay inside, to protect yourself and your family. You will not think from that angle. Whoosh, I think I've gone overboard.
No, it's amazing. That's perfect, because you actually gave me the book, Who Moved My Cheese. We gave you that to me, I think last year, and I read it. It's actually such a short book. Like, you can read it within, like, I think 10 minutes.
Half an hour. 10 minutes. Hour.
But the perspective it gives you, especially for a situation such as the one we're going through, is amazing, and it's life-changing, because you start to see things from a whole new direction, which is what I think a lot of people need at this point in time. Instead of focusing on what was happening before or how life was before, to focus on how to now move forward, rather than being stuck in the ways of the past.
Exactly. And we're getting a lot of news from everywhere about COVID, about Corona, and some of the news is true, some is not true, but you are what you consume.
True.
The food that you eat, the exercise that you do, also what you allow to get into your mind. I encourage people to get news so that we can be informed, see? But don't over get informed. See, if you are in a relationship with another human being, you're in a relationship, and all you listen to is how bad women are, how bad men are, how people cheat on their relationships, and how people kill each other in the relationship. You know, he killed the wife and buried her in the garden at the backyard. You know, you listen to all these negatives about a relationship.
Yes.
You will definitely start looking at your partner. When they're holding a knife to cut an onion, you think maybe they're holding a knife to come and kill me. See? So it depends on what you're feeding your mind, your soul, and your spirit, and your body. What is it that you're feeding? So if you feed yourself with so much negative information about Corona, about COVID, all the time, 24 hours, trust me, to reach a point, if you sneeze, you'll be scared of yourself.
Plus, you won't have any room to actually think about anything else that is positive.
You're so concerned. Anything else.
Yeah.
And eventually, you'll even get the corona. You will just get out one time to go to the supermarket and you will get the corona.
True.
Because what your mind, we attract that, the energy, the I'll call it the vibration.
True.
See?
Yes.
Yes. True. So as much as we're getting information, have limits to that. Eh? Put limitations. Wake up in the morning. At this particular moment in the day, maybe at 2 a.m., you'll allow yourself to switch on TV, listen a little bit about Corona, what is happening in the world. You'll read a little bit about it. And then after that, switch off the TV. Do something else. Put your energy somewhere else. Because what you give out is what comes in. That is it's a universal law. If you give love, you get love. If you talk about sickness all the time, everybody around you will be sick and you will be sick. So as much as we want to know about it, give yourself some limitations so that you don't become paranoid. You don't get a little bit of a sore throat because you woke up in the morning, didn't take enough water yesterday. You feel your mouth is dry, immediately think I have corona. So as much as we want to learn, put limitations to it. Try to get as many positive information about something else as possible. I admire my son, Samali, as well as my daughter, Namrinda and Dewara. I look at them and the way they're dealing with the situation, I'm like, I'm learning from them. Samali will do his homework, will do an exam, their school has arranged, and then he will sit and read a whole novel. He'll tell you, Mama, if I read this book, I'll get into the book, I'll travel through this book. Namrinda will listen to music, write a song, and sing. Dewara has his Sim City. He will sit there and have this proper game on how to create a government, how to take care of this city. You see, they have their ways of dealing with the situation. Children, we have our ways. Everybody has their way. But try as much as possible. Whatever way you choose, let it be a way that brings you more joy, positive energy than negative energy. Yes.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you for putting that forward. I think a lot of people needed to hear that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Osi. I truly do.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for your time again. I look forward to getting responses from this conversation. So if you do listen to the podcast, do share it. Let us know your thoughts, how you're navigating the situation, what you gained from it. We'd definitely love to see it. And remember to tag me at @OsteGrecoSinare and also tag Maza at Maza Bridal when you do share, so we can also see who was listening and what you gained from it. Thank you guys for tuning in, and thank you, Maza, for sharing. I hope you have a great Sunday. And I hope everybody else has a great Sunday and a week ahead.